Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cicerino back again to talk with you about the week's most interesting news stories for the week of July 7th, 2021, here on News AF.
If a story is buzzing like it's on crystal meth, it's about to be News AF. If the same old news makes you bored to death, it's time for some News AF.
Yeah, that's right. News AF. We're back again here on another Wednesday edition of News AF to talk about everything going on here in the summer of 2021. All the big top news stories that you might have missed here as you're enjoying your wonderful summers. And of course, we're here with a man who is Pickleball's top influencer, one of the great dads as well. Here he is. It's Tyson Apostle. Tyson, how are you?
I'm good. I mean, my fatherhood has definitely been tested this week.
Yeah.
We went to Newport with Rachel's parents. You know how hotel living is with two kids. Everybody's in the same room.
Mm-hmm.
The kids love it. They absolutely love it. They could live in a hotel forever. They love the idea of sleeping all in the same room and running around this place that doesn't belong to them and is foreign. So we did that for a whole week and it was fine. We went to the beach, we went to the pool, no problem. Then we get back, and that was Bergen had a birthday during that time, so we celebrated. We get back and then it's Marlo's birthday because they're back to back birthdays pretty much. And Rachel has this idea because she doesn't want to do anything at the house to just take the kids to this resort that supposedly has this water park It was all a mistake.
Yeah.
Yeah. The water park was disgusting, super overpriced, not even a real water park. And in my mind, I was like, I remember water parks being so cool when I was like 10 years old. Is the fact that I'm an adult now, is that like
were they never gross?
Yeah. Were they always gross? Are there some good ones?
They were gross.
Yeah. But I think there are some good ones even though they're gross, there's some that have some cool slides. This had no cool slides, no nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasted a lot of money and regret it. And we'll never be able to get that back to invest somewhere smarter than what I did. But live and learn, you know?
Yeah. You invested it in your children's happiness.
That they will not remember, which is fine. And it would have been fine if they were happy. But like at the water park, Marlo's at that age. She's 3 now and she won't swim with her floaty, but she's not good enough to swim on her own without it. She can float on her back and kick around. Yes, exactly. She can swim, but she's definitely going to take on a lot of water. And so the whole time in the lazy river, she's just screaming every time one of us is like reeling her in a little bit. And so we're like, oh, that's so fun just to have a 3-year-old screaming at her parents to let her go.
I could tell that you've had a rough one.
Yeah.
You're like battle weary. Like,
yeah. I'm tired, dude. And then today I had to have a talk with Bergen that if I am sleeping, you don't need to wake me up for everything.
Yeah. What did she wake you up for, Tyson?
Everything. She got me up at probably like at 6 in the morning at first to see if she could play toys. Yeah, play toys in your room. Don't wake me up for that. Okay. And then she came in to see if I'd blow up a balloon for her so she could let it fizzle out. And I said, don't wake me up for that. So if it's an emergency or something very, very important, but I don't think she heard that part of any of it.
Mm-hmm.
Nope.
So, We're fine. I'm tired.
Take a nap, Tyson. Why don't you just take a nap? We'll watch you sleep in the background.
And, I've thought about doing a live stream of just me sleeping, like at night, just turn it on. May as well just, you know, bulk those numbers up on social media.
Yeah.
See what happens. You never know who will tune in. Maybe that will be my TikTok hit, game.
Your runaway hit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, you can't put it that long of a video. Maybe you could take like very short cat naps on TikTok.
Yeah.
Catnap. Tyson Catnap Apostle.
Mm-hmm.
Meow.
Meow. Okay. So we also are joined by a man who is never napping, always out there, the eye in the sky, Danny Bryson.
Never nap Bryson.
Yeah.
Although I do love a good nap.
Yes.
Tyson, CDC just came out and they had to put out a warning. Do not swim with diarrhea. Because you're going to spread it all to everybody else. And I thought, you know what? No one is going to listen to that. Every lazy river at least has one diarrhea person in it. So enjoy those water parks.
Yeah, how do you know, Danny?
I know. I know how. You know what? If you're a parent and your kid has diarrhea, but the alternative is staying home with a diarrhea kid or taking him to the lazy river, you take him to the lazy river. That's just like a parent being a parent. Like, can't handle it anymore in here, this house with all these kids. But Tommy has diarrhea. It's like, he hasn't pooed in an hour. Let's go. Kids jump in the river. The river cleans all.
I don't
know. It's chlorinated.
Tyson, as somebody who has just visited a water park, would you rather stay home with a kid who's not feeling well or be at a water park?
Well, I didn't say not feeling well. I'm saying has diarrhea.
Has diarrhea, yeah.
Which means different things to different kids. Some kids, you're like, what happened to the toilet? They're like, well, I have diarrhea. You're like, I haven't heard. This is the first I've heard of this.
Well, and some kids, that's their regular poop. They never had a regular poop in their life. They don't know. Mm-hmm. But one kid with diarrhea can ruin it for everyone.
Thousands. Mm-hmm.
Thousands.
Now, thousands is what the CDC is saying. I wanted to bring this up because we talked about it in the pre-show, but you know, we just had the 4th of July, so lots of smoke and explosions. Luckily, no giant raging forest fires caused by, you know, juvenile firework displays, at least out here. But can we start this off by talking about the greatest, symbol of patriotism we saw all week?
What was that?
Well, I mentioned it in the pre-show. Mark Zuckerberg's weird
foil board,
foil board flag with what song was it playing in the background? It was a beautiful.
Was it
Take Me Home Country Road, John Denver.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
This I just wanted to say two things. And this is why I wanted to talk about it, because I had been thinking about this. One, I have a theory that Mark Zuckerberg is an alien. That's why he does things in such a weird way. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But if he's not an alien, if he is listening to News AF, I want to offer myself to Mark Zuckerberg for a hefty fee as the guy who will filter out things. I am not a yes man. All right. So when you're like, should I post this? I can be that guy who says, this is weird, dude. No, you can't post this. I'm going to charge a lot for my services, but I will guarantee you, you will not post another single awkward thing if you hire me to be your filter, your normalcy filter. That's what I'm offering to Mark right now, if he's listening.
Yeah, we're showing
because
video
he just posts
right
some
now.
Really. I won't allow that picture of your face covered in an insane amount of sunscreen to get out there, or this.
He's a big wakeboarder. We talked about this a lot.
Yeah, he is. Foil border is what he's done.
Foil border. Yeah,
we started talking about this. It started with that sunscreen picture, which also makes you think he might be an alien. And that's when he very first got into it. So we've kind of been there with him as he's grown up in the foil world.
Am I crazy to think that this is not that hard to do?
I've watched enough videos where I think it's a little challenging.
There's a learning curve.
Yeah.
Because your feet are strapped in. It looks like there's a machine that's like, I don't know what the bottom.
No, it's not a machine. It's a foil. It's just like a big giant fin under there. Mm-hmm.
They do have ones with a machine. And I think that's what Mark Zuckerberg rides.
He has.
And he has a remote in his hand and you can see it.
Mm-hmm.
That he is. But Tyson, the one you're talking about, I think both require practice, but the one Tyson's talking about, I think, is even more challenging, where you have to go up and down.
It's got a big fin, foil fin underneath it. So the one I ride is just a surfboard style thing. Those are easy. These apparently there's a learning curve to them, but once you get it, you know, but there is some challenge to them. So the foil board catches the water easier. So like you don't have to be right in the wake. Like he's outside the wake, but still getting pushed by the momentum of the boat right there is what I think is happening. And so like guys in the ocean, you can catch a wave before it breaks if you have a foil board. So you can catch like a slope rather than a drop off.
Okay.
Interesting.
So yeah, so it gives you a little more freedom to ride more options, but I know that there is a curve to it. I just don't know how difficult it is.
I also want to point out Mark's foil freedom ride or freedom foil ride that he did here it wouldn't be weird if certain people had done it, you know? It's just like he does things that aren't him, and it just puts off this trying too hard vibe. And I think that he just needs someone who tells him, no, this is not a good idea. No one will think this is cool. And I'm that guy. So offering my fees, they're a lot. It's going to cost a lot to protect you from yourself, but I'm willing to take on that job, Mark.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So will you give him other ideas of things to do, Danny?
No, I would say do what you're going to do, right? But whenever you think, should I post this? I'll be the guy who's like, no, you shouldn't. Mm-hmm. Or maybe just share that with, don't even share that with your close friends. He probably can't even share this with anyone because everyone's looking to spill the guts on Mark Zuckerberg. Nobody likes him. Mm-hmm. So if you can get anything out there, he's got probably a very small circle of highly paid yes men, and they're letting stuff like this slip through the cracks. Yeah. So I'm your guy.
Is there a different flag he could have been holding that people would have really... Yeah.
All right. No. There, maybe like the... What do they call the one with the skull and crossbones?
Like a pirate flag?
Yeah, like a pirate flag because nobody wants him to carry the flag of their cause. And especially in that manner. Like there is no flag out there other than the... Oh, what is that called? You know what I'm talking about. The skull, the pirate flag, yeah. Maybe. Skull he could get away with that.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, Tyson talked about that he may consider doing some streams of him sleeping on that bed in the background. And maybe this could be a great way to get some endorsements because a article came out this week from The Guardian about how brands are looking to do advertising in people's dreams. Specifically, Coors Beers created a video which is designed to be watched, and then you listen to an 8-hour soundscape when you're sleeping. And this is going to target dream incubation, which would trigger refreshing dreams.
Tyson, this is Coors?
Coors.
No, dude, because they've got some ulterior motive where they're just like, invest in Coors, buy Coors.
Yeah, they're inceptioning Coors, buy you so hard Coors. While you're you're asleep.
Natty Light tastes disgusting. Like, yeah, they're definitely, they're not doing this out of the goodness of their heart. There is some money-making scheme behind this.
Yeah?
Like the Manchurian Candidate, where they put something in your brain and then they trigger it like right before the 4th of July.
Sure.
But at the supermarket.
Danny, if this could give you like nice, refreshing dreams, I mean, it's sort of like you're watching YouTube and you just got to watch the ad and then you can go ahead and then get the video that you want.
What if this just triggers nightmares?
Well, then you wouldn't do paralysis. It anymore. You wouldn't do it anymore.
I don't know. I'm a Tyson. No one puts stuff out like this, especially not a company like Coors, out of the goodness of their heart.
Yeah, they're not just trying to help us sleep. If anything, they don't want us to sleep because every moment we're sleeping is a moment we're not drinking beer.
Yeah.
You know, that's Rob.
Yeah.
Is that sound?
That makes sense.
Yeah. So if anything, they're tricking us into thinking they're helping us sleep. But in all actuality, they're like, still awake. Drink a Coors, that'll help you fall asleep. Still awake, drink a Coors, that, and then they'll do more and more and more. And then maybe they'll come out with a sleep Coors, which is got melatonin in it and NyQuil. And that will be their cocktail, you know?
Why don't we Coors come up with
nighttime cocktail?
Honestly, like you drink enough beers, like it does have that effect. Like, I don't know if you need to add a lot to it.
Why don't we come up with a targeted dream incubation? Well,
Danny, I have some news for you. I think we already did. It's called This Podcast, where I hear from so many people where they say, like, oh, I listened to the podcast when I was falling asleep, and then I had this dream about the podcast or this dream.
Whoa.
Yeah.
And I listened to this. So I only listen to podcasts at night or if I have a long drive somewhere, but I don't have a long drive very often. So, so I almost always listen to my podcasts at night. And so I listen to this. I only listen to two podcasts, and this is one of them.
What's the other one?
The Jeselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project.
Okay.
Oh, here's something interesting, by the way.
Yes.
This technique has been around for thousands of years. And supposedly Salvador Dali would fall asleep holding a spoon in an attempt to enhance his creativity. I don't know how that would work, but the spoon would drop from his hand onto a pre-positioned dinner plate, waking him up in a state where he could remember the images he had seen. So I'm guessing as he's going into REM, he drops it and he wants to wake up immediately so he can remember his dreams. And from his paintings, apparently, I think that maybe that worked, right? They were kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember my dreams. I've thought about keeping a dream journal, but the only dreams I remember are the ones where I'm with women other than my wife, and I only remember them so that I can tell her when I wake up.
Really?
With the blonde last night.
Danny, this is a shocking development. Rat yourself out?
Oh, it makes her so mad. It doesn't even matter what happened in the dream. It's like, just if there was any other woman in the dream other than her, I just can't wait to wake up and tell her. I like intentionally remember to do it because it just bothers her so much.
Oh, see, that if anything, like I get like the opposite of that, where my wife will have dreams that I'm having an affair. And so
that's worse.
My dream. And then she's like angry with me.
But that's why I repeat these dreams to her, because when they happen to her, she's always mad at me, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
So I make a point when it happens in my dream to let her know. She's not as mad as if she had the dream, right? She's more annoyed. But mm-hmm. when it happens to her in her dream, she's always angry.
Mm-hmm.
So I make a point kind of like to just make fun of her by pointing out if there's been another woman in my dream. Mm-hmm. It just bothers her so much. So... yeah, I mean, it would be nice if I could get some dream targeted, whatever it's called. What is it?
Yes.
You know, to help her steer away from dreams where I cheat on her.
Okay.
That's what I would like to have.
Well, what would that product be?
Would
you play it in your, like, get like a Bluetooth
Coors
speaker?
Light.
Yeah, and play it?
Does Coors Light offer that in their package deal? Like husband not cheating on you, dream.
No, I had a dream Danny, where you were talking to another girl.
Mm-hmm.
No, I had a dream where we went to a party and a girl came up to talk to you and you just said, "Sorry, I'm married," and leaned over and gave me a kiss.
Yeah. Maybe it's like if Jared, the diamond jewelry store, maybe if they could have something like that where that would be like their commercial. But I kind of feel like that the Coors dream inception is going to be kind of like a beer commercial.
Yeah, where I'm at an awesome party with tons of young, hot people,
mm-hmm.
and I'm like, drink beer. I'm like, yeah, I'm cool again. Drink beer. Everyone thinks I'm cool again. And I'm driving like a muscle car, and I don't even know what other cool stuff I'm doing, but it's all because of beer.
Well, it could go one of two ways, because, yeah, it's like the beer commercial, but also Coors is like Rocky Mountain High. Mm-hmm. Like, is it sort of
they got
of
the
like,
cold can.
Yeah, is it like a babbling brook? Like, is that the sort of relaxing?
No, because then you're going to have to urinate. You're going to be like, dude, a strong urge to pee. I have to go pee now.
Just
you don't want a babbling brook in the dream.
I had a dream. I tweeted about this, but you guys might not have seen it. I had a dream where I full on went to a public restroom with a line of urinals, did a full length pee.
Okay.
Woke up in the morning, did not pee my bed at all, and didn't even wake up then to go pee. How mentally strong am I?
Yeah.
Dude.
One of the strongest to ever live, probably.
Yeah.
I bet you're the kind of guy who can pee and stop at will, like just the whole pee, like pee, stop.
Yeah. Sometimes if I have to pee and there's not a good place to pee, you can just like, I can pee, stop. Yeah. If I have to.
My most often dream that I have is of me tripping and falling. Those dreams that make you go like, like that, shoot awake.
Mm-hmm.
I have those all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want them. I want a different dream. So if we can get dream targeted dream, whatever, I need to move away from that. So maybe Coors could come up with something for me mm-hmm. where it's like I'm in a grassy field with a couple blondes.
Yeah.
You know, something less, more relaxed rather than these intense falling dreams that I have all the time.
Yeah. So it seems like that there are people that are up in arms about this because of where it could go as opposed to where it is right now. I mean, this does seem like a gimmick right now from Coors, but people are concerned about having all of these like internet enabled, like a voice activated assistants around your house, which can start playing things at certain times, that the door is open for the advertisers to incept your dreams.
That's a great point. We all have devices in our houses that could whisper sweet nothings to us as we slumber.
Yeah.
And if they perfect this technology, next thing we'll know, we'll wake up in the morning not even remembering all the stuff we bought on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great point, yeah, and a reason to worry.
By the way,
that is where it's headed.
I would listen to the Coors video and go to sleep. I would do
you
it.
Would?
Yeah. Yeah.
For science or just like every night?
I mean, how many nights do I have to do it?
As many, I mean.
21 days.
What does it sound like?
Wait, they're paying us?
I don't think so. I mean, they pay you in having good dreams.
You're welcome, well, Tyson.
Danny said 21 days. Like,
no, I said you probably, you know how habits change over 21 days.
Oh, okay. You have to do it for 17 to 21 days. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, smart. I didn't make that connection. I'm glad you explained it, laid it out for me. I think you got to try it.
Yeah, you watch a short video before bed, and then you listen to an 8-hour like thing. Now you have to sleep 8 hours to get the whole thing.
They're targeting a very lucky specific group of people.
Yeah,
Or a sad, either a lucky or sad group. Those are the only two groups they're reaching: is the like people who have nothing and only sleep, and people who have everything and
so
only sleep.
Some of the people,
it's like the people who carry cash. It's like only the very rich and the very poor carry cash. It's just like only the very rich and very poor get 8 hours of sleep.
It's a good point.
Is it?
I think this article is filled with great information.
Yeah.
Tell us more.
Rob had something. Yeah, Rob, were you about to say
the people
something?
That did it, one person said they dreamt about waterfalls. One person was walking through snow. One person saw some mountains. Are these people dreaming or are they watching mediocre amateur on YouTube?
I know, seriously. A lot of sweating, too.
Can you watch it or listen to it in double speed or 1.5 speed? Because then you can get your 6 hours in, Rob.
Oh, that's true.
You know? So that's pretty smart. I'm pretty smart about that.
Here's something interesting. They, in a 2014 study from the same article, they found that smokers exposed to the smell of cigarettes and rotten eggs while they slept smoked 30% fewer cigarettes. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if where this is headed is not just sounds, but also smells. Like, imagine if they could put the smell of
fresh barley hops. Oh, yeah. Man.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking less nefarious.
Yeah.
Like, you're still going with, like, I was thinking, like, what
you're
if
still you could... thinking Coors is doing this out of the goodness of their heart.
No, I was like, no, what if you could? And this goes back to what Rob said about the snowy mountain. Like, if you could project the smell of freshly fallen snow or dewy, you know, early morning grass.
Yeah, I've been on this ride. It's called Soarin', California.
Yeah. And they
mist you with orange.
Yeah.
With orange oil in your face.
Yeah. So let me ask you both this question. So, okay, if let's say Domino's came out with this and then like you could dream that you're eating pizza all night long. Like, do you A, like, oh, that's great, I could eat all this pizza guilt free, or does your dream of eating pizza then say, okay, I've dreamt of eating pizza, now I need to do the real thing?
B. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I think B. I think, like, if all of a sudden you're asleep and Alexa spritz a pepperoni, hot pepperoni, fresh pizza into the air while playing some very manipulative music, you're going to wake up and, against all logic, you're going to eat an entire large pepperoni pizza for breakfast. Mm-hmm. Like, all of a sudden they'll be selling pepperoni pizzas at Domino's for breakfast.
Okay.
So successful.
All right. Well, we talk about all the viral advertising trends. So let's see if in the rest of 2021, this turns out to be something that we're talking about more and more here on News AF as more advertisers try to enter the dream escape space. Okay.
I hope not.
I saw some studies over the last year about sleep specifically and how with 2020 and all of that stuff, yeah, with people not having real schedules, that people were more sleep deprived than ever, and that it was going to be a huge market figuring out how to get people back to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's beginning.
Okay. Yeah.
So
here's an article that I thought was primo for News AF, that there is a survey that was done that shows that we are in a severe recession of male friendship. Men have less friends than ever. Okay, Danny, have you found this to be true?
No, he has the same amount of friends that he's always had since he was consistent in sixth grade.
They call me Danny Consistent Bryson.
Yeah.
When it comes to friends. I like to keep the group around two or three.
And it never changes, or does it change?
Yeah. No,
it'll shift a little bit from time to time. Oh, but it never changes.
Yeah. Men's social circles are shrinking, according to the Survey Center on American Life. And 30 years ago, a majority of men reported they had 6 close friends.
What ages of men, though?
A majority.
Well, let's just say 18 to 45, because that's what, unless it says in here, I always feel like that's the big chunk.
Okay.
Okay.
So 6 close friends.
That was 30 years ago. Okay.
I'm still
in 1991.
Yeah.
Men had 6 friends. Today, that number is down to 3, and slightly more than 1 in 4. Slightly more than 1 in 4 have 6 or more close friends, but 15% of men have no close friends.
16%. I mean, there's so much to this study. What constitutes a close friend? How often is the conversation? How deep is the conversation? I think there's way too many variables to really, like, people could have answered this differently 30 years ago, because 30 years ago, technology wasn't where it's at. So the way you communicate is different as well.
Mm-hmm.
Also, so I don't think it's even fair to, like, for me, there's way too many things that are variables in here to even compare. Like, you can't. It's like I have 600 Facebook friends, and they see everything I do, and I see everything they like. So is that not count? And if that didn't exist, would I be more in tune personally via telephone with some of these people? Yes, probably. So I think that social media probably negates some of that, but I don't know that that's necessarily lessens it. I don't know.
Single men supposedly do worse, which that surprised me.
Yeah.
Because I thought when you married, you removed yourself from the gaggle of guys that you were hanging out with, right?
Yeah, but if you don't have a wedding ring, you look like a predator.
No, well, the reason I think that it is worse for single men is that when you get married, your wife introduces you to new people, and also married people are more on a schedule in more groups.
Right.
You know, like their kids are playing with other people.
Right.
Where like single guys, I could see how it could be.
Like I'm in a new city. Difficult. I'm not looking for any new friends, but if my wife makes friends, inevitably, you know, one of them won't be a weirdo, I'm hoping. And maybe I'll have a friend. We'll see, but it's really luck of the draw. I'm not doing anything to actively gain new close friends.
Yeah, and but I'm not searching out new friends, but I'm playing pickleball, which is a network
that
does ultimately bring me new friends. And
as a grown-up, you really only get your friends through your groups.
Through your hobbies.
Through your hobbies.
Yes.
You don't hang out with, at least I don't. Mm-hmm.
You don't go to like, it's not like you're like, hey, we're meeting over at Tommy's and there's a new person there. And you're like, bro, we should hang out. So, like, you don't do that. Hardly ever happens.
Yeah, you're like, a guy invites you to Caligula. That doesn't happen.
I don't have anything else going on. May as well.
It's just a buffet.
Danny, is there any situations you put yourself in to make new friends? Would you be meeting all of your new friends through your current friends? Like if you...
Yes. That's actually like how it does
Matt
happen.
And Christoph are your only means of meeting a new friend.
And then through the hobby... Right. Mm-hmm. They'll bring people into a hobby who then become your friends.
Yeah.
It's all hobby related.
Yeah.
You know, there is no like social.
But with pickleball, I don't need a medium. as a, I don't need a person as
an intermediary.
Yes. Because pickleball itself is so social that you just, that's how it works.
In this article, it talks about how women are better at maintaining relationships and making new friends. And I find that for me, the biggest struggle is keeping the people that my wife friends away from myself. So also, it's like she's always bringing in new people.
I also thought about this recently and I thought Rachel has way more friends she stays in touch with because she doesn't cut friends out for being assholes. Like for me, she'll be like, oh my gosh, I can't believe these friends are doing this and this. And they like said this about me. And I was like, yeah, I'd just never talk to him again. And she's like, I'm going to call him and have coffee. Mm-hmm. You're like, what? What is going on? If a dude ever slighted you in the least, you'd just be like, dunzo, dude.
I don't need that in my life.
We don't need that in our life too much. Yeah, exactly. And women are just like so forgiving of each other. Because they just love the friendship and I respect them for that. But also like, don't complain to me about what's going on in your friend circle if you're just going to keep being friends with them all the time.
I mean, my wife is on like Marco Polo of like group videos. Yep. Like, boy, this seems exhausting.
And the Marco Polos are like an hour long, dude.
And, remember people's names.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. My Liz is always like, oh, so-and-so this, so-and-so that. I'm like, I don't know who these people are. Like, you've lived next to them for 6 years. I'm like, oh, well, who are they?
Not to mention gifts. They're giving each other presents
the
time.
Yes. We're just terrible.
Come on.
As a gender, we're just terrible.
Yeah.
I will say this.
I should give more gifts, honestly, to my friends. That would be a nice gesture. And I think it would be exciting. I know I have a couple friends that will give me gifts sometimes. And it's nice. It's refreshing. Like, I got some birthday gifts from some of my closest friends. I did tell them thank you, but I think they both listen to this podcast from time to time. So if they're listening here, thank you very much for the birthday gifts. That does mean a lot to me. And it's refreshing because I don't have a lot of people giving me gifts. Rob, you've given me birthday gifts in the past, and it always is a very nice surprise to receive a gift. Mm-hmm.
It says here at the end of the article that Americans are devoting only 30 minutes a day to their friendships and that it's not enough.
Not enough.
And I will say this,
hour a week to this friendship.
Yeah. I will say this. I read an article or something. It was in a book. Can't even remember where it came from. And it mentioned the minute you feel like doing something nice, you should just do it at exactly at that moment. Mm-hmm. So whether it's texting someone or calling someone or sending something or whatever it is, you should do it because that, and I thought that's actually a great idea. So I'm like, you know, I'm going to implement that. And then of course I didn't. But I think that if that's all you did is when you thought of someone and you thought, you know, like, oh, I should write, call, do this or that, and just did it right then and there, that would be enough to go back to the 90s in terms of friendship.
Hmm.
Because it would be more than you would think. It would, you know, it'd end up being a lot more work. But I think that it would also keep those connections and the communication flowing. Because the problem is you kind of ghost your friends, not intentionally, but it's like,
for sure,
this, what do they call the slow in the relationship? The slow fade.
Yeah. The slow fade. Well, it would also be fun
all the time.
It would be fun. Like I've thought as I've gone around places like, oh, I have a little bit of time. It'd be fun to call Rob or Danny and just talk to him on the phone. But I know there's like an 80% chance Rob's not picking up because he's busy. Mm-hmm. And a 99% chance that Danny's not picking up because he's going to ignore my call.
And that's the difference, I think, between at least some guys and some women, is that I think the woman would do that and they can maintain the relationship. And then the guy, I always picture, like Tyson just said, that individual I want to call doing the things that I think they're doing. And I also feeling the way I think they would feel, which is mostly the way I feel about getting a random call. And that's the problem, is that if we just did it and didn't even think about it, it would probably have a lot of benefits.
I do like to fantasize about that. Like, what if I did have a best friend? Like, do you think that'll happen? Do you think it
that
can happen?
That sounds so sad.
Isn't it Nicole?
No, you can't. Your wife shouldn't be your best friend.
Okay.
No.
You should have a real best friend.
But I honestly...
Unfortunately, my wife is my best friend. But I should, like, I think it would be healthier for our relationship if I had a different
person. But I don't think... I have way too many inner thoughts in my mind to share them with anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't think that... I don't know if there's people that... that friendship exists where they're just like, I'll just tell them the innermost, deepest things in my brain. Cause I'm like, not even Danny will hear.
I don't want to know.
He does not want to know.
Yeah. But that's probably means I'm not probably a great friend because this article talks about how the,
no, I mean, it's nothing necessarily terrible. It's just like,
Can you imagine having a friend who you have deep emotional conversations with?
Like, that would be crazy.
That blows my mind. I can imagine a robot that I do that with.
Yeah, yeah. Or going to a psychiatrist maybe and having that conversation. But Rob, is that what you're hoping for in a best friend?
So here's the thing. Like, I would love to pour out my list of complaints about everything, but the idea of hearing somebody else's list of complaints sounds like a real burden.
Yeah, so you want just a one-way best friend.
That's what I'm saying, the robot.
Yeah, the robot.
You can tell the robot.
No,
yeah, you can tell the robot anything.
A psychiatrist, guys. You guys can go and talk. I mean, I'm not shaming any degree. I've never had a psychiatrist other than the ones that Survivor has provided after the show. And I've always found it quite refreshing to sit down before or after the show because they interview you before to sit down and just like pour your soul out and just be like, here's all the things in my head about the show and about this and this. And it's nice to just like unload.
Still not a friend, though.
Doesn't even feel like unloading. Yeah, it's not a friend, but neither is a robot.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I think a robot is more of a friend than a professional.
Yeah. You think? Because would
the
you
robot's
feel
not getting paid to be there? And then, by the way, when I say robot, I'm thinking of a highly sophisticated.
That's exactly
AI.
The same as a psychiatrist.
No,
is there a therapist that you could like get a lunch with?
Yeah,
that's your best friend.
That's your
best friend.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I'm going to put on my website. Because I'm really good at listening and just being like, and how did that make you feel? I should do like some lunch date opportunities for people.
No.
Yeah.
Rob already pointed it out. The burden of knowing other people's problems, that's something that you now carry with yourself. Not to the same degree.
But even what if you don't know the people very well?
That's probably better. But I still think you'd be carrying some of their
burden.
So
do you want to be a bishop in your congregation?
Never.
Where everybody's telling you all of their sins.
You don't want to be anyone in a position where you have to hear people you know tell you their problems and then just carry that weight.
Be able to tell anybody about it.
No.
And also, I think there's twofold there, because when you're listening to people's problems, some other times you're like, these aren't even really problems. Why are these people acting like this? And then other times they're like, this is so heavy. I can't even believe. Yeah.
I didn't even know that existed on the internet.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, well,
but then the other people, you're just like, that's not a problem at all. I do that 100 times a day. And they're just like, it's a burden. Yeah. We're doing okay, guys. We have each other.
Okay. Let's talk about
Rob.
Rob, yes.
You have me, bro.
Okay. All right.
Oh, wow.
Thank you, Tyson.
You guys, I'm both of your friends. I hope you guys already knew that if you didn't already.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Good to know.
Yeah. You can come to me for anything.
Oh, wow, Tyson.
Be coming to you about my course dreams.
Do. Mm-hmm. I think you should. I would like that.
All right. Well, here's a story where we always like to talk about treasure hunts and found treasure. And here is the case of a $10,000 treasure that was found in Utah. Danny, did you know about this?
Yeah.
Is this off your radar?
No, this is on my radar, and this is a great activity for best friends to do together. I mean, obviously, it's been fun.
Wait, are you kidding me? A $10,000 treasure? Where did they find this?
Draper.
And what was it?
It was $10,000.
Oh, it was cash?
Some equivalent to cash, something that was immediately redeemable. So
Okay.
My wife sent this to me. She's like, oh, you'd be so good at finding this because I spend so much time in the mountains. But I'm
that
like,
doesn't constitute treasure.
That doesn't really help me because the clues were so only a local who was on that specific trail would really catch some of those clues. Other than that, there's hundreds of miles of trails. And yeah, I've been on a lot of them, but I didn't recognize any of the clues. But go on. Okay.
Yeah, so a man named Andy Swanger, he found the buried treasure chest with $10,000 cash and a couple other items at the mouth of Big Cottonwood Canyon in Utah. Danny, whose treasure was this?
So this is the second time this has been done by an individual or a group of individuals. And from the article I read yesterday, it didn't sound like a business. It sounded just like a guy who was trying to encourage people to go outdoors. And last year he did $5,000, if I remember correctly.
Mm, cool.
This year he did 10. And what I found interesting in reading the article the other day was that he talked about the burden of having people, because this triggered a handful of search and rescues, just like every treasure hunt does. But he said he was just getting just swamped with messages about positive ones, you know, like this is really helping me and my family get out, to like, I need a clue, to I need the, you know what I mean? It like triggers a bunch of strangers to unload on you. And he said he was very glad it was over because it was becoming overwhelming.
So he's not going to do it again, maybe.
Yeah, he's done it twice. So obviously he can handle it for short periods of time. But dude, you really become a target if you say, I know where $10,000 in cash is. You become, I think, an unwanted target.
Hmm. Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, they found it. It was at a trailhead, if I remember correctly, yeah. Just about 15 miles away from me. In a popular area. And yeah, a guy found, he said he went out 5 times, I believe, kind of followed the clues. He remembered something from a plaque or whatever. And that's what I was talking about with Liz. You had to have like some previous knowledge of some of the area, you know, and he found it. And now he's a target. He's got 10,000 in cash, probably walking around, you know, as long as he doesn't go to a strip club, like a lot of lottery winners.
He'll probably going to Disneyland.
Yeah, he is going to Disneyland, paying off debt and going to Disneyland. So everyone knows where he'll be.
Yeah.
He's going to have thousands of dollars in his pocket.
Oh, he's going to carry it with him at Disneyland.
Yes, yes, mm-hmm. Naturally.
No, I mean, if you're taking a family to Disneyland, most of that's gone.
Maybe. I mean, that's only a handful of those Ant-Man sandwiches.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know? That's true.
He's probably throwing people off the scent. He's probably not really going to Disneyland. They'll never look.
He's actually in California Adventure.
Yeah. Having the Coors dream.
Another treasure in Utah discovered this week. Danny, did you see this video of the Wolverine in the neighborhood?
Yeah, on the Ring doorbell.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? That Rob, a Wolverine was spotted in Utah in a neighborhood, only the 4th Wolverine in the history of the state.
Cited.
Not the spandex clad claw.
Yes.
Yeah, not the X-Man, a real animal Wolverine from the Arctic.
Which, by the way, Wolverines, they're cool.
Have you seen one?
They're not like, I've never seen one in the wild, but they're not like wolves. I mean, they're like little, they're not as cool as you'd think. You know, no. Like stumpy creatures, and they're vicious, supposedly.
Yeah, but it's just odd that there's one in Utah.
Well, and I always feel bad because he's all by himself. Imagine
and
being the only Wolverine, and it's super hot, and you don't have a girlfriend or a best friend to talk about.
We don't know. But how did they get there?
Probably just walked, probably looking for a mate.
Adventure? Mm-hmm. Oh, a mate.
Or adventure.
A best friend.
Yeah.
How many best friends do Wolverines have?
They're solitary creatures, to my knowledge, yeah.
30 years ago, they weren't as much.
Yeah.
Yeah, before the internet,
yeah.
Wolverines were very social.
They need to get married and have mates that make friends.
You don't think this Wolverine was linked to the $10,000 in any capacity?
He was meant to be guarding it.
Yeah, it was like a Pandora's box. If you found the $10,000, it
you
also
have to
released
fight a Wolverine.
Wolverine on the community. So at what cost?
Yeah, for reals. And Wolverines probably are carriers of rabies, I would assume.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. Let me tell you about another dangerous animal that was on the loose. This story comes to us from Down Under in Australia.
Down Under.
Where?
Somebody had to do it.
Somebody had to do it. A 65-year-old man was using the toilet when he felt a pinch in his genitals, which
Snake.
Turned out to be a bite from a reticulated python.
Pinch?
They'll get you.
Yeah.
Just a pinch?
Yep.
So a small
Just a
python.
Pinch. By the way, I'm surprised that the snake didn't begin the process of digesting and ingesting
the testicles.
Mm-hmm. Well, how would that work? Because then if he sucks the whole body in, because they, you know how they like to suck the whole body in from genitals first, the guy would have to fold over.
That's what I'm just saying. It looks like, I mean, I don't know what this guy's look like, but it probably looks egg-like, you know, and they do eat eggs.
Yeah.
I'm just surprised he, like, the snake had this presence of mind to, like, kind of nibble at it a little bit before going all in. Because I think snakes, when I see them eating, they go all in. They don't half measure a meal.
I have some questions.
Yeah.
Was it his pet snake? Was it a wild snake? Did it come up through the sewer? Did it come into the house another way? I assume it was coiled up in the bowl.
Yeah. Great question. Let me see if I can.
Tyson.
Escaped a neighbor's apartment.
Yeah.
So it was a pet snake from a neighbor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how it knew to just nibble the nuts, because it, like, had been trained by the neighbor.
Do you know if it was testicles?
It was like there's no peanut butter on here.
Yeah.
Rob, what part is hanging? Like,
I've not seen this man.
Me neither. So obviously, I mean, he's speculating
65.
Here.
Yeah.
But he is 65, and those babies are down swinging low, and I'm just guessing, and it says here, genital area. I mean, what area is most prominent to a snake? He's not going for the chode. I don't think he's going for the wang. I think he's going for the thing that looks most familiar to, like, eating an egg or something.
Mm.
And that's just...
How do you know so much about snakes?
Yeah.
Well, I've read a lot about snake groin attacks.
Mm-hmm.
It's in my search history for sure.
Yeah, reticulated pythons, their diet consists of mammals and sometimes birds. So maybe it was an egg.
Yeah, I'm telling you that's what it thought.
No, they
I'm
eat eggs.
Surprised it didn't go all in. That's what bothers me about this article. Why didn't the snake go all in?
Because this is a pet snake that's been around humans. Mm-hmm. And
knows what a pair of testicles look like.
No, well, maybe. We don't know. Shouldn't, but yeah. But I think that when you're acclimated to humans, you definitely act a little bit differently around them than you would if you were a wild animal. Yeah. And this isn't the first time I've heard of this. I've heard of snakes coming up through the sewers or being coiled, a pet snake being coiled in the bowl. And then I don't know if I've ever heard of one biting someone from under, but it was bound to happen.
What a nightmare. Well, this is the stuff of nightmares.
Can I tell you that locally here all the buzz last week was the Raleigh cobra. Did you hear anything about this?
Oh, my gosh. A cobra got loose?
A cobra, a venom-spitting zebra cobra, which could spit venom up to 9 feet, escaped somebody's house and was on
who the owns loose. This yeah. Who owns this snake?
Crazy person.
Gosh, dude.
What?
And that this is where you live now.
This person needs to be now. Yeah.
And this person needs to be exported.
Did they find it?
They did find it, but there was like 2 or 3 days where it was all that anybody was talking about was, have you seen the Raleigh cobra?
Where did they find it?
It was on somebody's doorstep, ultimately. Dude. There was a guy, he's a 21-year-old. He had dozens of reptiles and many venomous snakes, and one escaped, and nobody knew where it was.
They should send him to Snake Island.
Gosh.
Yeah.
Because that's where he needs to go.
That is crazy, dude. Although you see that, like, there's like, you can get that stuff. It's crazy to me. I went to this place called like Out of Africa Safari or something. And it's like this ramshackly, like everything's just chain link fences. And then they had this one exhibit that was like two king cobras that are like 25 feet long each. And they're just behind some plexiglass. And I'm like, dude, those things. And that stuff could survive. Some of that stuff would survive in Arizona without.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think it's one thing to be like, hey, we have this cobra and we're in Antarctica. Okay, that thing is not surviving if it gets out. But to be like, oh, we brought it to an exact replica of its environment, but it's going to wreak havoc on the ecosystem because who knows what effect it will have. That's irresponsible.
Well, and it's crazy. We read stories about people smuggling stuff in the U.S. all the time, like the finches, snails, whatever. And it's like, how did the snake get in here? Did someone sneak it in a baked ham, you know, that they claimed their grandmother gave them before they left whatever country this terrible snake came from? It's like somehow this got here. Someone sent it. There's no way these things can be legal for private ownership.
No, and they're going to change the laws here in Raleigh to
after that.
Yeah, after that. That was it. That's the straw that broke the camel's back.
and nothing like that had happened before in Raleigh.
Yeah, I guess they didn't feel like they needed to have that legislation.
You know what? I'm going to look up Spitting Cobra so I can add that country to the list of places I never want to go.
India, Philippines, Southeast Asia.
Oh, Philippines.
Yeah. My season of Survivor, my third season, there was spitting cobras on the island, and
they said,
if you come across a snake, cover your eyes.
So you can't see it as it comes in and bites you.
Get away from it, but you got to cover your eyes. So all the producers and stuff were wearing sunglasses all the time, even when it was darker, just to not get venom spit in their eyes.
These things are nightmares.
Yeah.
One last story before we get to Danny's bolt hole. We talked about what happens if a reticulated python gets you in the gonads. Maybe you live longer because a new study done on some sheep in New Zealand is proving that castration could pave the way to longer life for men.
Question.
So at what age do you get castrated then?
Also, what does castration mean? Is it the wang? Is that just the nuts?
I mean, just the nuts.
I've always wondered when reading about eunuchs, and I've assumed it was just
eunuchs are different.
Are they?
I think. I don't know. I think castration is testes only.
Yeah.
So just get rid of them. I mean, maybe when you go to get that vasectomy, you just have those bad boys removed.
And then what? And then
you live. You live an extra 6 months. And every time you take a shower at the local club, you know, after working out, people, you become the object of
curiosity. You could get, you could have replicas.
Oh, that's true. You could get some sweet, smooth, glossy prosthetics.
Yeah.
And then you could switch them out. Some could be rainbow colored. That would be cool. It kind of, you know, you could wear them on different occasions. When you have a dressy occasion, you get them all nice and shiny. And
yeah,
that's kind of nice.
So in this study, they had some castrated sheep. And what they found was that the DNA was not aging as fast as the DNA of the male sheep that had all of their bits intact.
I would put this on the list of research that probably doesn't need to have any money spent on it. Not sure if it's going to go anywhere. Hey, dude, you want to improve your DNA aging? Well, we can do that here. We do Botox. We do Scrotox, but we also do scrotal removal.
Yeah. Often female animals have a higher life expectancy than males. And so this could be an answer for male animals looking to prolong their lifespan.
Not worth it. I don't know how much time it's going to give you, but whatever. Unless it's an extra like 50 years. And not only that, you reversed age down to like your 30s. It's not worth it.
Okay.
So now you're like an 80-year-old who can't get, you're shuffling around your house, but thank goodness you cut off your testicles so you can continue living like that for another year.
And then your testes don't dip into your toilet water while you are, you know.
Yeah, I think there's some upside.
Well, and you can keep them in a jar for a conversation, you know, when people come over.
Is that
like, hey, what's in that jar
you
behind you, Grandpa?
I think you know. That's why I'm 135.
Yeah.
Yeah. I owe it all to this. What are those?
So what? How much longer are we talking here? How much longer are these sheep living?
Oh, I think that they are living...
Like, you know, double?
No, like a year or two.
Oh. Like, and how long do... Is there... What's their regular lifespan, like percentages-wise? Let's figure that out.
Okay. So
there's no way this is adding years to your life, Tyson. This is like maybe a year.
Yeah.
Well, like if a regular sheep lives 20 years and it adds a year.
Okay, let me ask you this, Tyson. What's the number you're looking for? What number would you say, okay, I'm cutting these bad boys off?
Double.
No, it's
okay,
not double.
So it's not 160 years old.
If I live to 200 years old.
Live as long as the average woman lives.
200.
That's not worth it.
Yeah.
So...
A year or two.
According to this study,
I'm going to live that long anyways.
The life expectancy of Kiwi women, this was done in New Zealand, is 83 and a half, but for men it's only 80. So they would be potentially 3.5 years, Tyson.
So this is why women have always lived longer than men.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're giving birth, which also reduces their lifespan. So, I mean, there's all sorts of things that are, or drinking hot coffee, right?
Oh, yeah.
Rob?
Yeah.
Or sugary drinks. Mm. I mean, add this to the list. You got to find the perfect balance. Oh.
Hornacek says a sheep lives 10 to 12 years, which means that that's almost a 10% increase. But we haven't tried it in men yet to do a study. We should all sign up for this study.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm not. I mean, even if it got me to 200, if it doesn't make me have the body of a younger man, what's the point of living an additional 120 years? I'm assuming I live till 80, but I'm just this wrinkly old dude who can't do anything but sit in a lazy boy and spout old views.
What if you age twice as slow?
Yeah. So if I cut it off right now,
yeah.
By the time I'm 80, let's say I have the body of a 50-year-old. Yeah.
Correct.
Okay, now we're talking. Okay.
Danny's in, dude.
Okay. Think about it.
Good. Very good. I'm in too.
Okay. All right, Danny. Rob? Let me get a consultation.
Okay, from who? Danny Dr. and I can Mike. Do that right now
yeah.
for you.
Yeah.
Okay.
We just consultated Mike,
yeah.
you.
Yeah, we consultated you. I thought that was.
Oh, I don't know.
Do you want us to consultate you some
it?
More?
Yeah. Does my insurance cover castration?
Yeah. I mean, now you have extra cost? Time to pay it off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
I'm gonna live. We're gonna live 200 years.
I don't know. All right.
This is crazy. Also, just a disclaimer here: none of these claims have been. FDA approved.
Yeah, dude, slap an asterisk on that and cut the nuts off. I mean, everybody knows that's how that works.
Look, gotta make big moves. All right. Are we ready to go to Danny's bolt hole?
Let me take you there.
Right, here we go.
Yeah.
Welcome to my bolt hole.
Bum, 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 bum.
I think you're gonna like it. I think you're gonna feel... You belong.
Yes. Okay. Danny.
You there?
Yes.
We here? Or are you all here?
I'm here.
Everyone, open your eyes. You are now in my bolt hole.
Yes. It's like a Welcome. Coors dream.
Let me offer you a cold drink.
Oh. Okay.
A chilled beverage.
I like that.
Oh my gosh. I opened this article and I haven't seen advertising like this. It's slowly reducing the amount of text visible.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming. All right.
What do you have to do?
I don't know. I can only, if I cross out, the thing still stays. This is like, I don't, now the page is unresponsive. All right. Maybe I can still scroll.
Mm.
Wait. Okay. Anyway, this is an article I thought would pop up in our face, and it might have. And it was about a Japanese city councilman.
Yeah.
Who was fighting for the right to wear his wrestling mask, both in the picture online of him and also to meetings. And, you know, at first when I read this, I laughed because, you know, come on, dude, you can't wear a mask. But then I thought, you know what? We see so much stuff about superheroes and it's not unregular. Like we put on suits, right?
Sure.
We wear suits to work because it's kind of like a costume. When you put on a suit, it kind of changes your demeanor. You know, it maybe makes you a little bit more professional, maybe gets you into that mindset of like, okay, now I am this high-rolling Wall Street guy. You know what I'm saying? It has that effect. What if this guy's mask, and if you have time and obviously a browser that won't fill up with ads, you should go and look at this guy's mask because it's pretty sweet. It's like what are they called? Sotadora. What do they call the Mexican wrestlers? They wear the masks.
Yeah. Luchadors.
Luchador. It's that kind of a getup. And I thought, you know, what if this is what gives him the confidence to be a city councilman, kind of like a business suit, right? This is him putting on the necessary costume to become that city councilman who works the hardest for those people in his district. Is it so crazy? Does he have to be kicked off of the council because of that? He's got a sweet name, by the way. His name is Skull Reaper.
Skull Reaper?
which could be a little off-putting, and maybe that's what he should change is his name. But the Skull Reaper gets stuff done. I'm assuming. And I mean, is it, like I said, is it any different than putting on that lucky pair of shoes or that business suit or, you know, the power pants or whatever it is you have going on?
Does the Skull
Reaper
have a platform?
You know what? It's really not about his platform. This article doesn't dive into local politics. Mm-hmm. It's more about him having to remove that thing that allows him to be effective. And I'm just going to assume he's effective, right?
I mean, Skull Reaper, you can't like just call yourself the Skull Reaper and not be effective.
Yeah, it takes a lot of confidence to take on the name of Skull Reaper. I doubt he's ever reaped a skull. That's kind of why I think maybe he should change the name.
It's misleading.
You know, it was one of those stories that started off as, haha, look at the guy wearing the tiger mask. And then it slowly moved into, hey, you know what? What if, and it shows him in khakis in like a blue collared shirt tucked in with a nice black belt, but he's wearing the Skull Reaper mask. And I thought, is that so bad? I mean, it's probably a hit with the kids. And, you know, if some of our local politicians wore Skull Reaper masks, it might make things a little bit more entertaining.
Yeah, you know, I think there's some upsides for politicians wearing masks where, you know, sometimes like if you have to like make like a difficult vote for good or for bad, something that might not be popular, maybe you want to wear a mask because then people will not know your secret identity. But how did he get elected? Did he get elected as Skull Reaper?
As a Skull Reaper? Let me see.
Or did he morph into that? And, you know, people are going to change. You can't just be like, the guy I voted for is the guy who he's always going to be for the remainder of his term. Because sometimes you just are going to change into a Skull Reaper, you know?
Oh, so his campaign platform that you asked about earlier was educational reform and improved social welfare facilities.
Okay.
And he was first elected in 2013. And it sounds like he was wearing the mask from the beginning, which only makes it... even like he should maintain his job if he was elected as the Skull Reaper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then in a second, the chat says, can we make Ted Cruz wear a mask?
What kind?
Skull Reaper.
Well, he should be able to choose his own mask, you know, because that's his identity.
So I think
we're also, if you ran with the mask,
politicians don't like to be told to wear a mask, Danny.
Yeah. And if you run with a mask, I think that's who you elected. You elected the Skull Reaper.
I think when you elect an official, there's also options for what mask you vote for them to wear as well.
Mm-hmm.
No. I think the mask has to be chosen by the politician.
That's part of their thing.
Yeah, that's part of it. And his mask, by the way, changes design a little bit.
Yeah, I like that.
But he said that it's part of his identity, and if he takes off his mask, he becomes a different person.
Okay.
So, like, what if you demanded he remove his mask, and all of a sudden he wasn't for, you know, welfare reform or educational reform, but
he's
with
a 200-year-old castrated man, and everybody's like, what?
Yo, what if he takes off his mask, and all of a sudden he's like, I'm all for, you know, big money in my district paying me to do whatever they want to do.
No.
You know, like, you don't know what kind you're going to get without the mask.
Yeah. All right.
So let me just say that this isn't any different than a guy wearing a suit, or a lucky tie, or whatever knickknack he wears, or the cufflinks.
So is his face all the way covered?
Yes.
No, he's got his mouth.
It's got eyes, yeah.
I think the problem there is that facial expression is lost, and that how do you get elected with the full face covering mask on when people...
He must have good policies.
Yeah, Tyson.
I like that because like that show that's going to come on where they're dating and they're all in the Beast, dating the Beast or whatever. This is like that where you're fully going off just their policies. All politicians should have to just be like in a... Like when you see them on TV, they're just in like a dark box that you can't tell anything about them other than you can hear their voice and you can hear their policies. And then people are making decisions based fully on
that. They're like characters. Like, well, he's tall. He's over 6 feet tall. I'll vote for him.
Yeah. JFK wore makeup on TV versus Nixon not.
Nixon might have beat him if they both had to wear plastic bags over their face. By the way, I do kind of support this. I like how we've moved this from just this local Japanese politician to let's make it a thing when people are running. Looks don't matter at all. Let's just hear that policy. Let's not fall prey to,
I love it.
You know, those deep eyes that draw us in,
mm-hmm.
or whatever. And by the way, the height is an important thing. We got to make sure that whenever they debate, that we make them look exactly the same height.
Yeah. I think all of our lawmakers should be elected by their policies and like not what they look like or anything like that. That you could be like oh, I like the cut of this person's jib.
Yeah,
I like his jawline.
Mm. But it can't be.
It's a Cold War. You're going to vote on a jawline?
It can't be like the Masked Singer though, because then you're voting on a costume. So they can't even have a costume. It just has to be.
Blur them
out. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And the same, right? Like a featureless, contourless kind of face mask that both have to wear.
I love it. All right. Well, great job. I think we solved a lot of problems here today. Danny, what's next for you?
I got some adventures coming out. I've got an episode on Mediocre coming out on Thursday.
Okay.
And then I'm traveling to go do some cool stuff.
I'm going to listen to them all when I'm going to sleep so I can be there with you.
Oh, please do. No, I would love that. You know, I should put in some additional nature sounds just to soothe you. So I recommend watching Mediocre Amateur as you fall asleep, and hopefully in your dreams you can join us on our journey.
Yeah, that would be great.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's what I've got.
What adventure are you going on? Where are you going? What's coming up?
We're going to go climb some big, hopefully big mountains in Europe. Weather.
Oh, that's right. You're going to go to Switzerland, huh?
Yeah.
That's cool that I didn't get invited. I mean, I probably don't even know the area.
And you're afraid of heights. So.
Yeah, but I could go wait at the bottom.
Yeah, kind of with a cold Coke and a high five at the ready.
I could go up as far as I wanted and come down and enjoy it and hang out with you guys at night. You know that I'm more pleasant.
Yeah, you know what? That actually wouldn't be a bad idea. Bring the friend along who's just a good time. So when everybody's tired, he's like lifting up everybody's spirits.
That's me. You know how much I get giggling when.
Oh, yeah, dude. You're great.
Especially when people are down. I like for some reason when everybody is downtrodden.
That's when you do the best.
Do the best. Yeah, it's really true. It's crazy. When are you going there?
I'm leaving here in the next couple of days, trying to get everything packed. Right now, Liz is out of town.
Oh, where's she? Idaho?
She's in Washington State.
So she gets to go to Washington State, and then you get to go to Switzerland.
She took the kids.
Oh, so you basically you're out of town right now.
I know.
this is crazy.
This is going to result in an argument.
The kids.
When we both come back together. Okay. It's going to be probably a massive. Mm-hmm.
So you're leaving to Switzerland before she gets back with the
women,
kids.
Danny.
Yeah. I know. If I do, I'm going to write them down in an email and send them to her. Like, I was walking through a green field and there were these two tall blondes. Because she hates it when I say blondes, too. That drives her crazy.
Mm-hmm. So you're going to Mont Blanc in France, right? And the Zermatt. And you're hiking to the very pinnacle of the Zermatt?
We'll climb the Matterhorn.
The Matterhorn, I meant. Yeah.
Dude, it rains. Remember when we lived there together? It was like raining every day. I don't know if you remember that. I remember it in Switzerland. And right now it's raining like every day out there. So it's kind of a roll of the dice, but hopefully we'll get lucky.
Yeah, it could clear up. We went to the base of it before, Danny.
That's right. A beautiful day. I can't wait to go back up and stand where we stood. And when I do, I'm going to put that picture in the video and be like, I have been here before.
Good.
I'm going to show that ridiculous picture of us doing whatever it was we were doing.
We were standing in swimsuits on the glacier and people behind us
were walking.
Were rope teams all roped together because they were scared they were going to fall through the snow. But we were young enough to not care.
Mm-hmm. Glorious days.
Yeah, they were.
So, yeah. Anyway, that's what I'm up to.
I'm excited.
Tyson, you going to be slapping pickleballs?
Of course. I got a date tonight, a date tomorrow, and one on Saturday to play, and just always, you know, the pickleball grind. I love it.
Could you fall asleep to the sound of pickleballs being smacked? Is that a soothing sound?
It's a soothing sound, but I don't know. I've probably from a distance, yes, but I think right up in it, no. But I do like the sound of pickleball. They're loud and echoey, but there is something about it. I think if you play pickleball that you appreciate.
Okay.
So, yeah. And then we're going to be home for a little while. Rachel has her birthday the end of this month, and then we're done with the birthdays in the family. They are all within like 5 weeks of each other. So, yeah. So then we're all done. And nothing else for me. That's pretty much it. I just, you know, one day at a time, a mile at a time. So quarter mile of at a time. That's how I live my life. I think that's a quote from one of the Fast and Furiouses.
Yeah.
Rob, what do you got going on?
Yeah.
Well, tonight is the big night. Big Brother 23 kicks off. It's going to be a summer of fun talking about a all new cast of Big Brother.
Nice. All new. And then what else do you got?
90-minute premiere of Big Brother. And then we are still doing the all-time top 40 countdown, where last night I talked about the 13th best season of Survivor, the original Survivor.
Wow. Okay.
You mean the first one?
Season one. Yeah.
Yeah. So I've still got three seasons up there that have not
been
discussed.
Three seasons in the hopper, but it was interesting because we did Panama was 14. Panama was 15, then Blood versus Water, then Borneo. So I had back-to-back Aris followed by back-to-back Jervis.
Oh, wow. And now those three seasons I'm in could very well be top five.
Yes.
Maybe not.
Well, and
do you think Token Chains is going to be a top fiver?
I don't know if it's going to be in the top five. I know it's not going to be number 12 because that's going to be Survivor Millennials versus Gen X, one of Tyson's favorites.
Wait, that got higher than Blood versus Water?
It's number 12.
I guess you have all the Millennials voting for some reason.
And the Gen Xers.
And the Gen Xers, yeah. Okay, fine.
Yeah.
Well, that's, I mean, I'm offended, but not that much.
Yeah. All right. So, yeah, long podcast last night about Survivor Borneo.
Good. That's good, right?
It was fine. I mean,
who'd you talk to?
We talked to David Bloomberg and Mel Hulst. Almost 5 hour podcast on the original.
5 hours?
Yeah.
So I'm not even close to the record anymore.
Yeah. These have been long. The podcast about Blood versus Water was almost 5 hours last week.
Whoa.
Wow.
Oh, that's a marathon podcast.
A marathon. I know.
Yeah.
I know.
The longest I ever did was, about, I think, 4-ish hours.
Yeah, it's like 4:11, I think.
Wow. Well, good. Rob, I appreciate your stamina, and I think that if and when we get castrated, you'll be able to do even longer podcasts.
Oh, sure.
Podcasts.
I'll do 6-hour podcasts.
Yeah, no problem.
All right. Thank you so much, everybody, for watching. Take care. Have a good one. Bye.
We did it, guys.